Will you please kindly be seated? Thank you. Very briefly, we desire to seek the Lord in reverence and godly fear as we bow before him once again. And the many thoughts that surround us as we come to another service. It's my privilege to take the service, but we do very much commend our dear friends and the family, each one, unto the Lord for his gracious help today. It's that upholding, isn't it? And we're all the same. We need support and help when we have lost loved ones, and shall do. We do not intend to be over long, especially in the beginning of the service. So we will seek to thank the Lord for his goodness, be humbled for his goodness. My thoughts have gone very briefly to those words, "The Lord gave, how true, and the Lord hath taken away, how sovereign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May it be sweetly known today." We will commence the service with singing our first hymn, followed by prayer and reading from the scriptures. "Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God." The first hymn.
Thank you.
Will you please be seated? Let us pray. Help us, O God, to seek unto thee, great I am. We've been singing very sweet truths. May we be able to come, Lord, and seek our names, maybe written with those whose names are written in heaven. And we seek, Lord, that thou wilt bless us as we gather soberly, rightly before thee in thankfulness for the witness of our dear brother, so greatly esteemed and loved. And how we desire to thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. Oh, we would record it. Our dear brother has fulfilled his course, finished the course, and we are gathered rightly to humble ourselves on account of his witness to us. We pray that thou wilt remember each one of the family. Oh, we feel to need thee, Lord, to come and lift up the light of his countenance and grant light divine, a sweet knowledge of the Saviour. Thou wilt be with us, Lord, although so poor. How we need thee, Lord, to come and forgive our sins. Receive us graciously. But we do record, Lord, thy favours towards us once more. Surely thou hast been good, and we thank thee for thy loving kindness. And how thou hast helped the dear family, and we pray that thou wilt be with them still. Now, Lord, we seek that thou wilt come and help us to be very reverent before thee in acknowledgement of our own sin and need of a Saviour. We ask that thou wilt remember each case, each need, that thy servants with us, thy blessing to be upon each one as we seek thou wilt be with us, Lord. We pray that thou wilt help us now to know that especial blessing, the Lord's gracious help to us as we come before thee. Bless thy word, and may we be able, Lord, to know it is the Lord with us today. We ask that thou wilt receive us graciously in that worthy and holy name. And ask, Lord, that thou wilt be with us in every need, and our friend and brother around the grave, we pray that thou be with him. And hear us now, Lord, as we bow before thee, seeking thy gracious help, strength equal for the service, thy blessing upon us. For Christ's sake, we ask with forgiveness of sins. Amen. I'll read from the scriptures. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord gave, again we read it, don't we? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We read on, for since by man came death, true. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. How true. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive that are quickened indeed, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. A few verses here in John 10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and so on. Now we desire to leave the reading of God's word there, and seek to come as we do, and I believe rightly, to speak a few things regarding the experience and the things belonging to the life of our dear brother. It's right in their place, aren't they? How the Lord was pleased to make him what he was, a sinner saved by grace. We've had many sweet talks, and we went the same way, friends, with our sports in our young days. Taken up with it, and he was gradually brought to feel the truths that he heard so often had a deep meaning. And he was humbled by the word of God in his life, in early days especially. He was born in 1936, the eldest of five children. Sadly, his mother died when he was only eight, so he knew sadness. His father remarried, three girls were added, and so on. He left school around 15 years, as they did in those days, to work on his father's farm. And in 1960, they moved to Icklingham very quickly. I speak from these things versus a tractor driver. Then he began shepherding and so on, and he married Mary. What a wonderful wife she was to him. We had the privilege of burying her a few years ago now. He worked with sheep and moved from sheep to the milking herd, and I quickly come because he had ability, friends, with livestock, and he was looked up to, and he went to work with relations, and later he retired in 2002. I'll come quickly. He moved to Mildon Hall. That's where I first met him, coming along for my first preaching engagements, and there was a bond in the truth, and he encouraged me. I still remember it. He lived in Mildon Hall until he moved into Bethesda, as you are very well acquainted, and he spent his final 8 months there. I must just mention quickly, friends, the Lord spared his life when he had a very difficult time with cancer. God was with him. Many prayers went up, and there was a sweetness in it that God spared him, and he eventually went into retirement. And so we are come. I want to just notice then very quickly those very brief thoughts. thoughts concerning our brother. Friends, it was his prayers, wasn't it? You that know him, remember him. It was the reverence, deep reverence, to the Almighty that governed his life. And he had many times when he needed his God, and he was made a very useful deacon to us here at Fen Stanton, of course. And he was loved and esteemed. And then in the providence of God, he and his wife had four children, and there were also those that were given to them. Now, what I want to come to, friends, is the spiritual part. That's really what God has brought me to know, although I knew it not. It's the truth. When it gets in, and things, friends, become real that we can't see, that are more real than those that are seen. The dear man was blessed of God with discernment, and he was very much esteemed in our little church, and very faithful too. And I had many long times with him, although latterly I haven't been well enough to be able to see him. But I did see him before he died, but he was very near his end, really. But it was good to be with him. And then I want to come then, as I have hinted, to the spiritual part. And bear with me, I'm not ashamed about it. The dear man was made a blessing in the little home at Harpenden because he loved the Lord, and there were those that loved him for the truth's sake. Let me just quickly bring to you those thoughts that occupy my mind. I must quickly come. There's one dear friend who was able to speak write down a few things that were very relevant. She said, "I came on duty on the 1st of May and was met by one of the night carers who told me they had sent for Mr. indeed, as he was continually praying to Jesus to take him home, friend." That's where his heart was set. The things above, that's where his treasure was. And it showed. Friends, God's grace was in his heart, and he was, we quickly come to it, he was praying audibly and acknowledged the solemnity of dying as a dying man. He desired to be taken home, and these things were very kindly written down, and we have a little witness, friends, of the religion of this man that God bless once he was in the world. Now, friends, we can't be in the ways of God's truth and in the world. The dear man was brought rightly to seek very much for the Lord to bless him in his latter days, that it might be well with him, and he might die in the truths that he loved by the Lord's most gracious help. This dear person said, "I went into his room, and he was saying, 'I know that my Redeemer liveth.' He wasn't always on the mountain top, but he was, friends, his heart was up to the Lord with desire for a better country that is in heavenly. Over the following weeks, he seemed to dwell on these spiritual things, that Prince of God was with him to help and comfort him. He was very poorly, but he was able to witness to the truth. Friends, it had to come out, you know. And dear friends cared for him, and he deeply appreciated the care. He was one of those that acknowledged the Lord's goodness. One time he said, when he was blessed, he said, "Oh, there's mercy yet for me." That's real religion, isn't it? When mercy meets the poor sinner, and he has to acknowledge it too. There was a hymn that was singing, and it came right to his heart. "What must the fountain be?" It's the last hymn, isn't it, in the hymn book we use. And so it was that the Lord gradually brought him to his end. But not to the end of his God. I want to notice it. Friends, we think of the reality of it. The dear man was being prepared for eternity. It says, "Eternity, tremendous sound. Guilty soul's a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine." That was his religion. How sweet the accents. How divine. May the Lord grant me especially that real religion. I come so far short. And so he was often speaking of sovereign grace. Friends, what a witness he left behind of God's love in his heart. And yet he was perhaps very tried too. Now there's just a few things laid upon my mind. Shall not be over long. You remember the last few words in our reading? I remind you of them. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not." Always wanted to take away thieves. They don't bring anything, do they? It's like Satan, friends. He wants to take away what God puts in the heart. Oh, for grace to withstand. Now, these are the words, and I want to notice them very briefly. John 10, verse 10, very quickly. "I am come, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Those words seem to take up my thoughts, friends, very briefly. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the life in him. What is it but his rich grace? Now there's three ways I want to very briefly speak from those words, as I am called to try and be faithful. The first thought is this. "I am come that they might have life." Well, friends, it's in the new birth, isn't it? Life divine in wretched sinners' hearts that don't want him. Don't want Christ at all, really. But then the Lord's grace is known with life eternal by his word and truth. Some of you know exactly what I mean. That's the first way I want to look at these words in my very brief thoughts. I am come that they might have life. What did the Lord say? Ye must be born again. How true. And they might have it more abundantly. Well, it leads me on very briefly. I don't want to be long. Friends, it's really the increase of his love. It's the blessing of God upon poor sinners that are still as bad as ever, but for grace. Still say away with him, left for a moment. But then they are brought sweetly back. I am come. They might have life. And it's the increase of the love of God. Oh, how sweet that theme, isn't it? To those that fail to be sinners. And here is a sweet promise of life, friends, beyond this poor life here. It speaks of life divine, and that is in Christ Jesus. Very quickly, my thoughts go to it, friends. The dear man was sometimes very troubled. What did he need? An increase of God's word, his life, in his heart. And some of you know exactly what I mean. Where would we be without the increase from time to time of this life divine? Where is it? Well, I want to come to it. It's not in our best desserts or anything to do with what we are, but it's that way of God with sinners, friends. Still the same. Does he touch heart and keeps their souls alive? Breathes the living word. It's in the word of God, isn't it? Oh, that there may be some that are brought back. We went astray and had to be brought a long way back. We still need to be kept. And the truth in my heart is this, friends. It's that truth that lives in Christ. It's this life that is imputed and given to those that truly seek him, and those that are humbled very much under his hand by all his dealings with them. Many things belong to their circumstances, and yet this word, friends, is very precious. They might have life more abundantly. Now many say, well, it's better to be a Christian. Well, I leave those sentiments, friends. I can't find anything in the scripture about that. It's what the Lord is. By his sweet grace and his power to save. By one thing especially I want to come to. And that is what he is to poor sinners. Where is it? Well, you say it's in God. Yes, friends, but this is especially that word of the Lord concerning the increase of his life in the sinner's heart. Let me look at it very briefly. But they might have it more abundantly. And friends, everyone wants something, somewhere or other. But the Christian wants the Lord. Oh, he cannot do without him. You have to learn, without me, you can do nothing. You have to seek more earnestly his face. And then things come, but there God lives. I am come. They might have it more abundantly. That's this life that he gives at the new birth and increases by the grace of God. Now this one part I want to bring to you very quickly. they might have it more abundantly. Well, it's contained in the Word of God. The trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honour and glory in the appearance of God. So, friends, this life is eternal. Sweetly do we think of it, friends, by the inward possession of Christ by faith. Now, friends, I know well enough what it is to reject and turn away and go after the world as if it was really everything, when we have to learn it's nothing, empty. May the Lord touch my heart again and again, and your heart too. And then, how do we notice very quickly these words, to have it more abundantly? Well, not only is it when God grants his sweet spirit and blesses his word, but friends, it's really where our brother has entered into heaven itself. I am come. They might have it. It's this life abundantly. And it is above. Oh, it's in Christ Jesus. Oh, and it's in the Lord Most High, to bring those that truly cry unto him and seek him for forgiveness, acceptance. And they have to get very low, you know, and feel to need the increase of a good hope through grace the saints possess. Now, friends, it's in his death. That's where this life is. Very quickly. It's a sweet living interest in the finished work of Christ and the desire to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I do not go on. I want to leave just a few things. I do not know how long I have got in the path of life. It cannot be long. But I want to seek to direct you to this word here. Well, this life is above. And it is in Christ Jesus that lives. And there's one character I think about. And that is Stephen. In the scriptures we read of him. He gave such a sweet witness and testimony, didn't he? It's real religion, wasn't it? There. And he found the Lord standing and lifting up Stephen to know that the Lord was with him to the end. And so it is. I want to notice then, in my little acknowledgement of the Lord's goodness, especially to the dear family. I'll just mention their names again. David and Esther, Marcus and Sarah, 9 grandchildren, 1 great grandson. Oh, the Lord's goodness was known to the dear man, and it's not for me to go on. But to leave a witness, friends, that soon it will be me. What about you? I have to bow in death, and may we be ready when the Lord shall come. We leave our thoughts there. Amen. We sing together to God's praise. The last verse here, Christ is the eternal rock. on which his church is built, the shepherd of his little flock, the lamb that took our guilt, the last hymn.
Thank you.
be seated. Thank you. O Lord, do forgive all this and how we pray for the convoy of thy love. May gracious help, and as we pray, Lord, for ourselves, we remember each one, other countries too. Lord, we pray that thou be with us now as we ask thy blessing upon thy truth, as our brother leads the committal, and we pray for him and each one, the family, unable to make the trip without much effort. Be with us, Lord, in life's journey, and be with us now as we thank thee for the mercies that surround us, the goodness to our brother now departed. My gracious help to be afforded to each one of thy servants, and remember us for good. Now may the Lord be with us. May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.